What do you remember about your first game as a head coach at Nebraska?
Lost to UCLA the year before, David Helms' first game. I think we lost 17-14. And I think maybe Mark Harmon, the guy that's the actor, was the quarterback out there for UCLA. And they ran the wishbone. And we just didn't do a very good job of stopping it. And so they beat us 17-14. And the next year they came back here. And we beat them pretty soundly. I can't remember the exact score. It was like 42-13, something like that. And I remember Tony Davis was our eye back, had a couple big runs, and I think David Helm played pretty well that day.
You changed your offense and defense from time to time during your coaching career. Now, do you think you would be using a version of the West Coast offense if you were still coaching?
No, I don't think so. I might do some of the things that Urban Meyer did at Utah, where he was able to. And we started in that direction. You know, we ran multiple sets, but we also ran out of a shotgun some, and we ran some option football out of it. Now Urban began putting people in motion and getting almost a three-back option offense out of the spread formation, out of the shotgun, and. And I think some of those things would be attractive, but I would always want to run some option. I always felt that the option gives you the best possible passing situation because in order to stop the option, you have to involve the safeties so much, and somebody's got to come up and take the quarterback, somebody's got to take the pitch. And so you can start down that line and immediately just put the secondary because they have to commit. And then you've got one-on-one out there, and the best, I was talking to Bear Bryant one time, he said that he liked the wishbone because it gave him the best possible throwing situation. That was one receiver out there being covered by one guy, cornerback with no help in the middle because the safeties were involved in stopping the option. That's very true, and I have always been very partial to option football. Of course, we moved the ball very well that way throughout the time I was a coach.
So you prefer that versus the passing attack that you utilize with quarterbacks like Herman Ferragamo?
Well, we ran some option with those guys too. You know, we probably got better running the option when we went to players with a little more speed. Jeff Quinn was certainly a guy that ran the option well. And of course, Turner Gill was where we really began to hit our stride. Tommy Frazier, Scott Frost, those kinds of people were truly outstanding at it. But we always ran some option when I was a coach.
What do you miss most about coaching?
I miss the players, and I miss the strategy. You know, to me, coaching was a little bit like a chess game, and so I always enjoyed that strategy and trying to counteract what the opposition was doing. And but I really enjoyed the players.
During your 25 seasons as a Huskers head coach, do you have any particular moments that you're the most proud of?
Oh, I felt reasonably good about what we did. I don't think that the things that are important really are necessarily the championships or the rings or the bowl games. It's more the relationships, and I guess I've been out of coaching now for 8 years. I have felt that most of the players that played here felt that there was something special that happened, a very strong bond among the players. They are very supportive. They come back a lot. And that's been really gratifying to see and see so many players who maybe came from difficult circumstances who have made a better life for themselves, players who probably never would have gone to college if it wouldn't have been for a football scholarship. And it's been very good to see also. So those are things, I guess, in terms of memorable games. Maybe the game with Miami where we went for 2 points and didn't make it during the 1984 Orange Bowl. The game against Miami in 1995 Orange Bowl where we finally beat them 24-17, won a national championship. They came with Florida, so we beat them 17-14. And so those games will always be very memorable to me.
At one time you considered taking the head coaching job at the University of Colorado. You know, how close would that come to becoming a reality?
Well, I think when I went out there to visit, I thought I would probably take the job. And there wasn't anything we saw there that we didn't like. Nancy and I went out there. You know, the mountains are beautiful. The facilities were reasonably good. And we felt it was a very good place to recruit to. But when I got on the airplane and rode back to Nebraska, I just realized that, you know, I was in Nebraska, that I couldn't go out there and coach a different group of players, and I wasn't sure how I could stand up in front of the players I had that I'd recruited and tell them that I told them that Nebraska was a great place and I was going to turn around and go somewhere else that I thought was better. And so I just, from that point on, never really seriously got involved with another job. I had two or three professional teams offer jobs that were attractive financially, and one of them was Seattle, because I love to fish and I like the Pacific Northwest, and that was a little bit tempting, but I really just never seriously considered leaving Lincoln after that one trip. I think that was the only place that I really went and visited campus and seriously considered it.
What advice would you give a young man today who is interested in becoming a football coach?
Well, I think that you have to count the cost. It's a high-risk profession. It's something that you really have to love doing. You have to love the game, love the players, and you got to be willing to put in some awful long hours. You better have a wife that's fairly understanding, or it becomes very difficult. And it's not for everybody, but I think it's one of those things, if you're really not going to be happy unless you've done it, then it's something you ought to try doing.
Yeah, I recently interviewed Charlie McBride. What influence did he and the other, quote, long-term coaches have on the program?
Well, I think we really had a good staff, and Charlie, of course, made great coach as far as defensive line and great coordinator, and so I just really appreciated him. Of course, had Milt Penifer with me for a long time. George Darlington was with me for a long time. Frank Solich, Turner Gill, Dan Young, and so many guys that were great coaches. Tony Samuel also.
Yeah, I hear that your coaches' meetings were pretty structured. Did you have a set format that you followed, or like an agenda?
Well, we usually start at 7 in the morning. The first thing we had was a short devotional where somebody would read a verse of Scripture, and we'd have a prayer and talk a little bit about the verse of Scripture. It'd take about 10 minutes, and then we'd usually get our practice schedule for the day, and we'd split up offense and defense. We'd look at the 15 days practice, and then we'd get our practice schedule set, and then we'd usually end up with quarterback meetings about 1:30, so and end up on the field for about 1 hour 45 to 2 hours and lift weights, and then we'd usually we met on Sunday and Monday nights, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday we didn't meet at night, which is different than some places. But I always went home and worked, and it worked pretty well.
Hey, let me just turn the tape over for a second. Hold on a second. Over the years, did you make any changes in how you conducted practices, or did you also kind of follow a set format?
Well, we didn't make any great changes. I one change we did make that I think was important was that as time went on, we began to go at least a couple periods, like maybe offense against our top defense. And, of course, that wasn't giving us a picture of what we were going to see in our opponent's alignment that week. But we just noticed that if we went against scouting teams throughout the week, and that went on through the whole season, that toward the end of the year, the scout teams became more and more passive and didn't give us a very good picture. And I think that made a difference for us when we began to go our top players against our top players and go live maybe for just 10 or 12 plays during the week. And I really resisted that and avoided it for a long time just to make us better.
Now getting back to the 1984 Orange Bowl, you know, how much of an impact do you think going for two against Miami in that game had in future recruiting?
Well, I really don't know. I think there were probably more people that I've talked to who thought it was a good decision than bad. But normally, people who think you made a bad decision don't come up and tell you it was bad. So I really don't know what the public perception is. But it seemed like the right thing to do at the time. And I know those players that we had were convinced they would have made it. And if I had kicked the point, I think they'd always kind of looked at me out of the corner of their eyes, wondering what kind of a guy I was, and so we went for it. I think the play was there. It was, you know, just guy got a finger on the ball and deflected it, and that was it.
Was that decision made before the end of the game, or was that the decision made right when it happened? Was the decision to go for two something that you had talked about before the game started in case that situation presented itself? Or?
Oh, we always had a two-point play. And,
okay.
So the decision to go for two was made, you know, right when the situation arose. And the reason I did that was because there wasn't much time left. I didn't think that we could kick the point and tie the game and ever get the ball back, because they still had about a minute or so left in the game. And so I thought, well, we've got to win it now if we're going to win it. And so we just went with the two-point play that we had on our practice schedule, and that was what it called.
Okay. You know, moving on a little farther, what's the formation of the Big 12 Conference? Were you kind of for that or against that?
Well, I wasn't too excited about it. I thought we had a very good league with the Big 8. We had a very strong conference, and the Southwest Conference was falling apart. They had some major recruiting scandals. They were having a terrible time drawing fans for their games, and so the teams down there that were viable were Texas A&M, Texas Tech was pretty viable. Houston was at times good. They didn't draw very many fans. And then, of course, Baylor and then SMU and TCU. And SMU and TCU had run afoul of NCAA, and they were really struggling for attendance. So they went. They kept Baylor and dropped Houston and SMU and TCU. And the idea was that they were going to join the Big 8 Conference and accept our rules. And then all of a sudden, it was like we started over, and all of a sudden it seemed like Texas had a lot of influence on what kind of academic rules we were going to have, what was going to happen in the conference. And I asked the chancellor of the university at that time. I said, well, what happened here? I thought they were joining our conference and accepting all of our rules. And he said, well, we just didn't want to make them feel bad, so we just decided we'd start over. And so naturally, I didn't quite understand that procedure, because they were struggling, and we really kind of threw them a lifeline, and then all of a sudden it was a whole different thing than what I thought it was going to be.
What impact did your faith have on your coaching style?
Well, I think when you have a strong faith, you realize that the most important thing in the world is not winning a football game, and you realize that all people have worth. They all have equal worth, whether they're first team or fourth
start the teammates mentoring program?
Well, I believe we started that in 1991.
How did you get the idea?
Well, I think Nancy found somebody on television who had gone back and visited their old grade school, and the grade school had changed a lot. A lot of inner city kids, a lot of poverty, and just he'd gone back to visit, but he just had the idea he'd make some money, that he would tell those kids that if they graduated from high school, that he would be willing to pay their way to college. And so apparently he had quite a bit of success, and so I thought, well, you know, we've got all these players, and maybe we could use these players in a constructive way with some kids here in Lincoln who might be struggling in one way or another. And so that's we started the teammates program and had those players serve as mentors.
Where do you see the program going, you know, like 10, 20 years down the road? Do you see it going outside the state of Nebraska and all over? Or?
Well, we've already gone outside the state a little bit, and we have a couple places in Iowa that we've got some teammates programs, and currently we got 71 communities and roughly just about 3,000 people.
That's pretty good. Now, what impact do you think the Internet has on college football today?
The Internet?
Yeah.
Well, I think the Internet obviously leads to a lot of bloggers, lots of opinions being posted, and anybody who has a thought can get it on the Internet. And it maybe makes things a little tougher because there's so much information out there regarding recruiting, opinions on coaches, who's doing a good job, who isn't, what move should have been made in the ball game. It's probably puts a little more pressure on the average a coach than what he had maybe 20, 30 years ago.
So are you happy the Internet didn't exist during most of your career?
Well, I think that, probably would be, although it was there to some degree toward the end of the career, you know, but, and I remember coaches coming in saying what they'd heard on the Internet or what they'd seen, that some rumor about some player we were recruiting we maybe didn't even have on our list, didn't even know about him, you know, so there's all kinds of things like that.
Okay, if there's one thing you'd like to say to you know, the Nebraska fans today, you know, what would you say about the Nebraska fans?
Well, I think they're generally very knowledgeable. They I think they understand football and they study it, and generally speaking, they're very good sports. They tend to treat teams that come in here very well. And win, lose, or draw, I think their opponents are generally treated with respect, and the opponents will tell you that. And it's been gratifying, and I hope that maybe the way that we try to conduct the program here has something to do with that. We never tried to make this a nasty place where people were ill-treated. And anyway, I'm proud of that factor.
What do you think about the future of the Nebraska program? Do you think it's in good hands?
Well, I think so. We'll see. I think they ended up, obviously, last year, the last two or three games, things went well. And so it gives them some momentum going into this year. This year they have a game out at USC. It will be tough. They have Texas and Lincoln. Probably will be tough. They have a